The Splendor of You. Here is your host, Debbie Sansone Schlaprisi.
Hi, I'm Debbie Schlaprisi. Welcome to The Splendor of You. Dr. Johnson's with me yet again. I'm so excited. And here we go. We're continuing our path to the virtues and your splendor. Your splendor. Who God made you at the core of your being, your original goodness, and how the virtues play into that. So, Dr. Johnson, welcome. Thank you. And let's get going here. Would you mind introducing our next topic?
Not at all.
Okay.
We are on your book, page 107, and it's Reflection 25, and you entitle it, The Bread We Can't Live Without.
Yes.
You open, your very first paragraph here is really dramatic because you open about this miracle in a little village. The priest, the Sicilian monk, was saying mass, and he was having a difficult time in his heart and his soul about, is this really Christ? When I hold up this host saying mass, is this really the body and blood of Christ?
Yeah.
This is in the village of Lanciano.
Yes.
And so I'll read this. This is your writing. One day while celebrating mass, struggling with the idea of transubstantiation in his heart, the monk consecrated the bread and wine. And after pronouncing, this is my body, this is my blood, something extraordinary and miraculous happened. He noticed blood dripping from the host. My God.
Yeah, I know.
And then future scientists went and they got this host and they actually, you know, had a biological endeavor of looking at it, and they find that this is not only human tissue, but it's tissue from the heart muscle.
I know, Dr. Johnson.
Amazing.
Wow.
So,
Jesus, help us.
You know, and then you come on and say, well, how often do I just sort of, you know, go up to the communion rail or to receive communion, and do I have all these different thoughts that might be going through me, and am I as reverent as I can be, you know?
Yeah.
In other words, to me, what I'm hearing here is the virtue of transcendence, that we are called to not look at this simply as bread, but we are called and we believe in the deepest part of our hearts, this truly is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You know, and in order to get to that point, that's transcendence. In other words, we're going beyond. And if I could give you a couple of descriptors of the virtue of transcendence.
Please do.
Transcendence is going beyond the material dimension and moving on to the dimension of being. It's the ability to live in the material and the spiritual simultaneously. It's like, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world.
Sure.
You know, I am here, certainly. I'm flesh and blood here, and I'm talking with you, and yes, you know, rocks are hard and all of that, and we have needs. But at the same time, we're celestial beings, you know, in our hearts and in our soul. So, and a couple more descriptors, to make decisions from the highest reality, that is God's reality of love. So we're really, transcendence is the choosing function of the personality. We're making a choice all the time during our days, every day of our life, we're making choices. And the biggest choice is, am I focusing accurately on what's happening right in front of me? Am I only seeing the material here, the material world here? And to what degree am I being called, and do I answer the call of living in God's world? And that's not that our material world isn't God's world, but we're not talking about pantheism here. We're talking about understanding the presence of God right here in front of us. We can be here in the material world, but also in God's world at the same time.
Hmm.
And it's a hard one sometimes to get your arms around transcendence. To help us here, we can say the shadow of this, that is the absence of transcendence, is what we would call worldliness. And a person who's in worldliness, that is, the only reality for them is this material reality, that there's no other reality than that, and we only deal with that. And that's when we are living in our false self psychologically rather than our true self. Our true self can participate in all virtues, And so in this case, we're saying we're making decisions based upon what it is that is beyond this world. In other words, how would God see this? I don't know if you remember, you probably do, years ago, I don't know how many years ago, kids would wear these wristbands and it would WWJD, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yes.
And so that was a message to them, wearing that around their wrist. They would get it at retreats and things like that.
Sure.
And wearing that on their wrist would remind them, say, okay, what would Jesus do? You hear the decision here?
Yeah, got it.
The decision. So are you making decisions just about what the world would have you make decisions? Not that we don't. I'm not saying that's, we have to make. We live in the world. We have to deal with the world. We have to, yes, all of that we have to do. But we are Christians. We're followers of Jesus Christ, who we believe is the second person of the Trinity. And so how does that knowledge, how does that strong, absolute core belief of ours manifest itself in the decisions that we're actually making about ourselves and about our relationships and about our presence here in this world and the purpose of our presence in this world?
Okay, well, Dr. Johnson, I got a thought here.
Sure.
So I'm listening to all of this and I'm thinking that it's, well, particularly the first part of what you were talking about, which had to do with the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. I mean, that right there could spend a lifetime just trying to meditate and think upon, because it's so incredibly powerful and such a gift to us. You know, it's like,
right.
Whoa,
right.
That whole idea of reminding myself, you know, Blessed Mother, help me when I go to receive the Eucharist. Dear Lady, sometimes when I'm standing in line to receive communion, I'll say, Blessed Mother, help me to realize what is about to happen. You know, be with me, show me, help me, because she obviously, you know, held the Savior of the world in her arms. I mean, she held God in her arms, and I hold God in my body with the Eucharist. So that right there, that's a dimension that's like, Lord Jesus, praise you, Jesus. And that miracle that you were speaking of in Italy, that was many, many years ago. I was with my husband and my parents and a lot of my siblings and some of my kids at the time. And it just moved me beyond words. I could not believe it. I mean, I was looking at what was in the monstrance that was no longer looked like a host. It was flesh. And then I'm being told that it's by scientists that it is actually heart muscle. It's like, oh, I mean, it's just mind blowing. It really is. But then, and now when we're talking about in the everyday world and that idea of, you know, the virtue of transcendence, I'm thinking, okay, you know, a couple of scenarios, a man
sure.
who's struggling to make things ends meet, make things work for his kids, got somebody in college, somebody here, got to take care of these bills. His wife is complaining. This is going on. Another person in their wisdom years, they're struggling with illness, da 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 da. You know, a woman who's like, did I ever get a break? When we're in the midst of all those different situations, whatever they may be in life, that are less than ideal, how do we begin to implement this whole idea of transcendence, you know, when a bill collector is ready to knock on our door? Can you help us with that?
Well, I'll try.
Okay. You usually do. you always
we're
come
called,
through.
Yeah. You know, the world throws things at us all the time, and it constantly does. And the question becomes, well, what are we going to do with it? You know, what do we do with it? I think a good example of transcendence, I mean, transubstantiation is pretty much the highest level of transcendence we can get to.
Mm-hmm,
so
sure,
if we look at everyday examples of, have you, I'm sure you have, ever been brought to a sense of awe?
Mm.
Looking at, I mean, maybe just, not just, looking at one of your daughters when she was or your son, 3 years old, you know, and just and having this sensation come over you and realizing, oh my golly, you know, this child is just awesome.
It's
just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So we move anytime we are moved to awe, wonder, and delight. We see it in nature all the time. We can look at a tree or a sunset, you know, or the reflection of the moon off the lake, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my golly, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get shivers up your spine, you know, and you say, that's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a transcendence there. Yes, this is a tree, which is material, But the recognition that this tree is much more than just what you're seeing here. This is life, and this is beautiful, and this is, there's got to be a creator, you know. There just has to be. And so it's where transcendence is, where you're actually touching, I mean, not actually with your fingers, but you feel that your soul and your heart and your mind is touching the majesty of God. Here, that's transcendence. When you get that sense of overwhelming wow, you know, that's, you're moving into transcendence.
I'm thinking, Dr. Johnson, thank you for that beautiful, beautiful example. I'm thinking then the only way to begin to live in that is through prayer and stepping back. Even in the midst of all of the difficulty or whatever the challenges that life may be bringing us, or the pure pleasure, it is to step back. And once again, to step in that space of prayer. Is that true?
Absolutely. We're encouraged to pray continuously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't mean formal prayer like saying a rosary necessary, but to pray continuously to me means that we're using our eyes to see beauty, truth, and goodness. And that's most important to us. Now the person who's totally worldly, and we all have to be worldly, you know, they would look at us, what are you talking about, you know, Richard? You're talking about just seeing truth, beauty, and goodness everywhere? It's like, where have you been since 1906? Will you get real?
Mm-hmm.
And what they're saying is, will you get to see the way the world sees this? And yes, we can see it the way the world sees it, of course. But we're seeing more. We're seeing beyond that. It's beyond.
Okay. And when we're feeling overwhelmed, how do we step in that place again of, I guess, stepping out of feeling like we're drowning to that place of God is here, He's with me, that other space? How do we do that?
Well, we do believe in the same concept, and I think much more than the concept of divine providence, which means that there is a God. And that this God is benevolent, and that this God has my best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. It's as though God has an arm around me, holding me tight. And yes, terrible things happen to us here in this world. You know, we get cancer. We go get bankrupt. Mm-hmm. We have people, you know, rear end us with the car. We have whatever kinds of things.
Well, loss.
Losses, divorces. Yeah. I mean, yes. Mm-hmm. Deaths and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly we grieve and certainly it hurts. But is our job to try to just get out of that hurt as quickly as we can? Or might be part of our work here to be able to see this tragedy, this time of suffering, as also a time of surrendering to divine providence.
Yeah, that's awesome, Dr. Johnson.
And I know that's asking us a lot, but, you know, Jesus has his arms around us, and you know, there's no greater power than the power of love, and virtue flows only from love.
And, you know,
I don't mean to make it simplistic.
No, you're not.
Simplistic.
Actually, no, you're not at all. It reminds me, Dr. Johnson, of what I learned many, many years ago about praising and thanking God for all things, which at one point in my life felt so hypocritical because it's like, what? How can I praise and thank God for that? But in faith, I just, and because I was desperate and just wanted to begin to access healing some way, somehow, there is a great blessing in praising and thanking God because we're stepping into that space of faith of believing that Jesus says, you know, in Romans 8:28, you know, I will bring good out of all things. Like you said, divine providence, God has a plan, hold on. And his plan is not for my destruction. You know, it's for my glory. So that whole idea of praising and thanking God in the midst of great difficulty can be incredibly healing and a real step in faith that can help
us. Exactly.
Yeah. And as
not only for ourselves, but for others.
Mm-hmm.
To see how God is using us and guiding us and relieving us of some of the real terrible. I mean, where we, the event that happens, whatever that event is certainly tragic. But what makes it suffering is not the event itself. It's the way that we're viewing the suffering. Mm-hmm. It's the way that our personality is processing the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're using shadows and compulsions, then this tragedy truly is a tragedy. But if you move intentionally over to your virtues as much as you can, then this transformation going on here, they're saying, yes, this is a terrible thing that's happened, but I am going to be better as a consequence of this. Through my belief and trust in God, I yeah. will be made better. I will be given the strength.
Yes. Now,
again, the world would say, get real, Richard. You know, you're not, you know, there's bad things out there. And I would say, yeah, clearly there are bad things. And yet suffering is salvific.
And you've suffering. Said, you've said, Dr. Johnson, that in your work and your research that you have seen over and over, and I remember you've cited situations in hospitals and your research work that has shown that those people who are in the midst of dire, difficult situations, those who practice the virtues, one of which you're sharing with us today, transcendence, those people do better. Those people have a higher experience of well-being and inner joy, correct?
Research
yeah.
clearly says that to us.
Yeah.
It clearly says that to us. But are we using virtue? Are we getting closer to God just to alleviate our pain? Or are we using virtue to get us closer to God?
As human,
I guess maybe you could say both. You
know? I was about to say to you, Dr. Johnson, that I thought, you know, as human beings, and when the suffering is so, and I know you've had great suffering, I think it can be both. It certainly has been both in my life. I would hope that with time and age and God willing, a more awareness of the beauty and love of God, that it would begin to move in the direction of, you know, that connection with God. But along the way, there can be that idea of wanting relief, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
There, that the
and Jesus healed people.
Yeah.
Jesus relieved people. I mean,
yeah.
So, yes, I mean, I we draw distinctions here just to make some clarity, but that doesn't mean that they're diverse, like the world and God are two different realms. And it's almost like we're saying, I don't want to get the question that anything tangible or worldly is bad in and of itself.
No,
of course not.
No.
God
no.
makes beautiful things. God made this earth,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mm-hmm. this is a beautiful world still,
mm-hmm.
and it can be totally inspirational for us.
Mm, that's so true. You know, when you said that, when you're saying that, Dr. Johnson, once again, I'm reminded of Pope St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body and Christopher West, who I guess is probably considered one of the number one experts on the study of it. He shared that the beauty that we see and that which what that we enjoy in this world is uh-huh. just, you know, a tiny foretaste of what eternity is going to be like. You know,
of the feast to come.
Yeah, yeah. That of what heaven is like. It's just an indication to us from our Savior, just a foretaste. Those things we love or enjoy, or when you were talking about when we, you know, the moment of like looking up at the sky and actually having an awareness and seeing a beautiful as the sun is setting, or seeing what the skyline looks like, or when you talked about being out in nature and the water and the trees and the flowers and seeing the reflection in the water and all that does to that moment. Just a foretaste of what it's going to be like. In fact, he shared the story. There was a saint who must have really enjoyed beer. And I don't know who the saint was, but that the saint said that heaven was, and I don't know exactly how this went, but this saint loved beer, and that heaven for this saint, that the Lord gave this saint a foretaste of beer and the enjoyment of it, and that part of heaven was going to just be this ocean of beer that this saint could experience. And I just liked the fun, the practicality of it all and the fun of it, because there's so much truth. But you said something earlier that I think is such a big point when you said, do we have to get through it, the sadness, the feeling, as quickly as possible? I really liked when you said that, because I think a lot of my life, I just wanted to feel better. Just let me feel good again. So whatever that meant, if that meant I had to repress certain thoughts or ideas, or just quickly get past them and say, oh, yeah, this is why. Okay, I got it. It's all good now. Everything's good. I can feel good. That has been a huge, it's been a huge mistake in my life. But that's a huge error. I saw once an image where there was a fish tank, and the fish tank had water in it with no fish. And instead of the fish, there were tennis balls. And the gentleman, just trying to make a point, was trying to push these tennis balls down in the water and not allow them to surface. And there was a lot of energy being expended trying to push these little puppies down, okay? And then, of course, he couldn't keep them down because one had popped up. And when it popped up, by him trying to hold it down so hard, it really popped up with a vengeance, you know? Knocked him in the head, or the water went everywhere. And the point, of course, was about not to suppress and to allow it to come forward and to experience it. I've always not wanted it to come forward because I've been afraid of what it would feel like. But the truth is, by identifying how do I feel, I'm sad, I'm lonely, I'm heartbroken, you know, I miss my dad or a loved one, whomever it might be, who has gone on, to acknowledge that, actually, as hard as it is, and to be able to lift that up to Jesus, it does take, it makes a shift. And it seems like it's more in conjunction with who God made us to be than trying to stifle all of it and repress it. Now, as a psychologist, could you speak to that, please?
Well, you're talking the language of transcendence here. If I could just give you a personal example, you know.
Sure.
5 years ago, I was stricken with a very rare thing, and here I am in the hospital, and there's pain everywhere, and I can't move, and, you know, and I'm just thinking, my, you know, Lord, did I do something here to create this? You know, like, what is it? What? How can this be part of your plan? This has taken me. I was trying to follow you, you know, and you took me right off the rails here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on?
Sure.
And in the midst of all that internal turmoil, it all comes from shadows and the compulsions, in walks a nurse. And she comes in to just care for me. And to soothe me and to say, what can I do to help you? And looking deeply into her eyes, what do you see? You know, there's truth, beauty, and goodness there is what I'm trying to say. And that's transcendent. You're brought to another plane. And it may only happen temporarily here, but it's there and it's dramatic. And it's like, yes. Now, if all you had was judgment in your heart, you'd come in and say, well, where were you half an hour ago when I really needed you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that doesn't help you. I mean, you're not letting any of those, what we call neurotransmitter chemicals of the positive kind, move out in your brain. You're just completely hampering them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't intentionally see that happening, but it's happening. So, again, what are we saying? Virtue is our way to moving closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the virtues are there. And how do we open up to the widest aperture? I look at, you know, there are big, wide pipes going into my soul, and they're grace pipes, you know. But when I'm judgmental or when I'm morose, or whatever, I can close those down.
So, Dr. Johnson, at that time, and we've only got a moment, but at that time when you said you were just in the throes of probably agony and where is all this going? What's happening? When she walked in there, what happened for you?
This is transcendent. There was a recognition of truth, beauty, and goodness right here. Right in front. Here is this person coming in. I know it's her job and all that sort of thing. But there's something beyond just performing function that this person is doing for me.
I see.
And that sense of gratitude,
okay,
which is another virtue, comes over you. And I'm not in any way trying to pin roses on my cry.
Sure.
I would just cry. My tears would just roll down. And it would be like, yes,
mm-hmm.
look at this. There is truth, beauty, and goodness. Look
mm-hmm.
at this.
Mm-hmm.
This is one. I still was in pain. I still was all of that.
Sure.
But I was transcended. I mean, the Holy Spirit moved me. I didn't do it.
No, I get it.
It was a power way beyond me.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know? And that's what we're giving this word, transcendence.
Mm-hmm.
That you're moved to another level, you know. And that's, isn't that great? I mean, that's like, wow.
In closing yeah. today, with those of our listeners are listening in, who knows, on the way to work, in the midst of the day, whatever, this might mm-hmm. find them. For us to begin to live in that, at this moment, that transcendence, what do you advise us? To have an awareness of it? To say,
to
Jesus,
awake,
let me
you know?
See you? Yeah, in all times, in all places?
Right.
Okay.
Right, to be awake. But in order to be awake, you have to believe that it's there.
Okay.
There is something here. There's a power here that's not of this world.
Okay. That God is with me. I think you said it earlier. Yeah, Scripture tells us God's through us, around us, in us. He's here. He's present.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I am who I am. Right here.
Yeah. Which is exactly where we, and because if we just judge things as they are, that host is just nothing but that circle of bread. You know, in closing, because you began the show talking about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, perhaps mm-hmm. just, if it's all right with you, I want to just read this quote from St.
Sure.
Faustina. That
yeah.
this is from her
Beautiful
diary.
Quote.
Yeah, isn't
yeah.
it? I think so, too.
Oh, my God, yeah, I read that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is St. Faustina's yeah. diary that mm-hmm. is our Lord speaking to her, and it's, when I come to a human heart in Holy Communion, my hands are full of all kinds of graces which I want to give to the soul, but souls do not even pay attention to me. They leave me to myself and busy themselves with other things. They treat me as a dead object. So once again, boy, talk about, as you said, the epitome of transubstantiation, but transcendence for us, that at all different levels we can continue to just step out of ourselves and into Jesus, saying, Lord, you're here. You're with me in all of this. Thank
Amen.
You. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Johnson. God bless you. And friends, thanks for tuning in to The Splendor of You. And hope to catch you the next time. God bless you. And if you want to connect with us, talk to Dr. Johnson, connect with us in regards to The Splendor of You, feel free to email us at www.splendorofyou.com. That's www.splendorofyou.com. And Dr. Johnson, do you mind repeating your website? What is that again?
Yeah, www.spiritualstrengthplural.org.
Okay.
Spiritualstrength.org.
Okay, great.
ORG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, friends. God bless you. And remember, your splendor is within.
This has been The Splendor of You with Debbie Sansone-Schlaprezy.